Mind Food Radio, smart thinking with Michael McHugh.
Welcome to Mind Food Radio. If you aren't living the life you have dreamed about, it's most likely because you have not had the habits or rituals in place in your life that you need to create the future you desire, says psychologist Keith Abrahams. Keith believes if you aren't living the life you've dreamed about, it's most likely because you've not had the habits or rituals in place in your life that you need to create the future you desire. Welcome to the show, Keith.
Thanks very much for having me on.
Well, that's a big claim. You know, what makes you so passionate about helping people achieve their goals?
Well, I honestly believe that what the world needs now is more passionate people. You know, look at it this way. Nothing great happens until somebody becomes passionate about something. And so for a lot of people, what they tend to do is they tend to push their passion to one side. They tend to get a bit serious in their life. And I'm a great believer in taking responsibility, so don't get me wrong with that. But I honestly believe that passion is that source of energy that puts purpose in your step, that helps you to create the right plan and gives you the energy to be able to go and achieve it.
That sounds great in theory, but how do you unearth a passion? You know, like, I'm very lucky in that I am very passionate about what I've created in Mind Food.
But yes, absolutely.
But, you know, for people listening to this, how do they find that passion if they think, well, you know, that's all very well. I get up, I pay the mortgage, I've got a job, I come home, I've got kids. I don't know what I'm passionate about. What about those people? How do you unearth a passion?
Yeah, look, that's a great question, because that's most of the work that I do with people around the globe. Most people say exactly the same thing. You know, Keith, I've got a job, I've got kids, I've got responsibilities. I'll pursue my passion when I retire. And yeah. One of the things I say is, but why wait? You know, because passion, it gives you great joy, great energy, great enthusiasm, and it engages you in life, and that overflows into other parts. So we all know the benefits of it. To come back to your question, how do you find it? One of the first things I get people to do is I ask them a couple of questions. The first thing I ask them is, tell me four things they're passionate about in their life. And often what is always number one is family. That's what tends to come up. And like you, I'm very passionate about the work that I do. But then what we ask people to do is dig a little bit deeper. You know, what was it that you used to be passionate about as a kid? Maybe it's a sport. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's helping people. Maybe it's volunteering. Whatever it might be specifically for yourself. Then the next piece of the puzzle, and this is the really... it's really simple to say and not that simple to do. But one of the key things that we get people to do is to start the list of 100 things they want to do in their lifetime.
Yeah.
Because anybody can find 5 or 10 things, but when we say 100, you have to start digging a little bit deeper. And yeah. Over the last 18 years, we've helped people write something like about 12 million goals, 500,000 just last year, and through this process. And that starts to unearth, that starts to bring to the surface, that starts to bring to the top of the mind what people are passionate about.
I think people would find it very hard to write a list of 100 things.
Yes, you're right. But we have a process. So to give you an example, we run a program called Passionate People, and we run it for corporates and individuals around the globe. We've run it in... every continent. We've run it, you know, something like almost 6,000 people in corporate companies last year went through that program. And it's a great program because it's got actually nothing to do with their business. It's all to do with themselves. I was just in New Zealand working with Westpac just this week. And when you give people permission to actually stop and think about what they can achieve. Now, here's the statistics. We keep really good stats around what tends to happen. If there's 100 people in the audience, when they go through the process with us, 20 of them to 25 of them will actually get 100 written down in the workshop. And the workshop's about 4 hours. But we don't allow 4 hours just to do this one activity. We give people about 10 minutes to start it. We will have, on average, we'll have another 25 people that will get up to about 75 written down. We'll have about 20 people that will get 50. And then the rest of the people will get somewhere between, you know, they've got a benchmark to beat. When I first did this activity, I only got 7 written down. So they've got a benchmark somewhere between 7 and 25 for the rest of the group. And that tends to be the progress that we make every time.
Tell me, how many people do you get that, you know, that they always wanted to do something as a child, or they were passionate as a child, but they never did? You know, for whatever reason, they were guided a different way, they were took a different path. How many people have you come across that have a real regret in their life, and you've sort of guided back? You know, and it might even just be picking up a hobby. You know, they always wish they'd played the piano and never did.
Yes. Well, look, a lot of times people have, you know, everybody lives with regret. But what I often say to people is, you know, you can draw the line today. You can either live with regret, or you can live your passion. You've got that choice. So often people, have that choice, and they abdicate that choice, or they abdicate that responsibility. You can take a habit up. You know, I've known. Give you an example. One of the guys that had been on one of our programs. One of his goals. Now he was. Let me say, now, I saw him 2 years ago now, so he would have been 45, 47 then, so he was at a workshop with me 3 years before that. So let's say he's about 40-ish. And one of the goals that he wrote down was to learn the trumpet. Now, as a kid, never learnt a musical instrument. But during this goal setting, writing down 100 things you want to do in your lifetime, he wrote down that he wanted to learn how to play the trumpet. Well, you know, he's got a business. He's an optometrist. He's got a family. These days he has learned how to play the trumpet, and he plays in a jazz band every second weekend with some gigs around Perth. So you can use it as an excuse, or you can use it as a ramp to move you forward. And anybody can learn anything at any age. And I think this is the other piece of the puzzle. When the why becomes clear, the how becomes easy. And so when people are very, very clear on why they want to do it, they'll find the what and the how.
Sure. Now tell me about rituals, because I know you're a big believer in rituals.
Yes, absolutely. The first thing is, now part of what comes down to writing down 100 goals you want to achieve in your lifetime. See, the goal setting process hasn't changed for the last 100 years. And everybody's heard of SMART goals: specific, measurable, obtainable, realistic, tangible. And here's my belief: they don't work. They work for companies, but they don't work for individuals because there's not an emotional connection. You and I are emotional creatures. We experience 135 different we can experience 135 different emotions. Just under half are negative, just over half are positive. And when you identify those things that you want to do in your lifetime, then you identify how you want to feel. More importantly, how will I feel when I achieve that goal of learning how to play the trumpet or whatever it might be? You and I, as part of our DNA, have somewhere between 1 and 3 driving emotions. Mm. Once we know what those driving emotions are, then we should be setting goals on how we want to feel rather than the actual goal itself. And we get what I call true goal alignment, which is about the physical, mental, and emotional connection. Feel, think, do.
But how would I know what I'm going to feel? If it's something new, how will I know? Or are you saying people pretty much, you know, they're going to do something because, you know, they want to feel happy, or they want to feel relaxed.
Correct.
So you sort of want to push someone through that to think, well, what do you think you'll feel?
Yeah, rather than what do you think you feel, you know, here's what I do know. Is that everybody knows the answer. When you ask people the right questions, put them in the right environment, they know how they want to feel. But more importantly, we need to articulate what happiness means to them, or success means to them. Or for me, my 3 driving emotions is I want to be energized, I want to be impactful, and I want to be successful. And I have some definitions that relate specifically to me. Now, come back to your original question around rituals. So once you've identified your 3 driving emotions, then you can start to identify the actual rituals that you need to do on a daily basis to help you gain that feeling. So rather than wait till the goal's achieved, you actually start to drive that you know, achieve that feeling. For example, if I want to feel energized, what do I need to do every day to feel energized? For me personally, it's about going for a walk for 60 minutes. It's about drinking 2 liters of water, about eating good, clean food. And I know that when I do that, I will feel energized.
So how long have you sort of put that into place in your life, you know, the walking, the water and all that?
Well, that's been, look, this has been definitely a journey because I've been inquisitive. I've sat and I've thought about it and I've been curious enough to say, is there a better way? Because I get in front of, you know, I speak at about 80 different events globally. I get in front of somewhere between, 30 to 50,000 people a year. You get a chance to meet lots of people, talk to lots of different people. And what was always amazing is why do smart, intelligent people set realistic, tangible goals and actually never achieve them? they're lazy. No, they're not lazy. They're not emotionally connected to it. And that set me on this path of saying, okay, if we start to invert the triangle and rather than say, set the goal, take action, gain a result, and then get the feeling, what if we did it the other way around? What if we said, how do you actually want to feel? You know, and then if that's how I want to feel, what would be the goal to actually help me feel that? And what, more importantly, what would be the action that I would need to take to achieve? And that's where the rituals have come into it. And to come back to that original question of yours, how long have I been doing this for? For the last 3 or 4 years, I have been articulating this, and hence that's why I put it all into a book called It Starts With Passion, which is a step-by-step guide on helping people find their passion, pursue their passion, and to live passionately every day.
So how do you, though, you know, establish a good habit and a, you know, and that ritual? You know,
I was going to say, we all have habits, don't we? Some of them are good and some of them are not so good. I love the quote, you know, people create rituals and rituals form futures. And how do you create the right habit for you? The first thing you've got to start to think about is how do I really want to feel every day? And what would be the best activity for me to be able to feel or experience that emotion or that feeling? People exercise, you know, and here's the thing. People exercise to lose weight. Well, you know, they wonder why they're consistently inconsistent with that. Wouldn't you rather exercise the fit? I'm an energy junkie. You know, I want to have great energy every day. So I know that I have to do those activities every day.
Can I ask you this? Have you always been like that? Have you always been an energy junkie? Or did something happen in your life and there was a turning that made you refocus?
About 27 years ago, I got a chance to go on a week-long leadership program, which was run by Rotary called RILA, Rotary Youth Leadership Award. And a guy stood up and started talking about goal setting. You know, and I grew up on the farm and I never heard of it before. And it was something, so I thought, geez. And what they asked us to do is they said, here's what we'd like you to do. Grab a piece of pen, grab a pen and a clipboard and go and sit under a shady tree. Now, I worked for the local council at the time, so I knew how to find a shady tree. and I started this list, this life to-do list, and I wrote down 6 things, and I stopped and I thought, geez, life is going to be short if I can't write anything else down. And the 7th thing I wrote down was finish this list, and it took me 6 weeks to do it. And after that, I just got a bit of a realization that maybe there was a bigger life to be had. Maybe there was a bigger vision for me. And look, and I'm not perfect at this. I'm not perfect at my rituals. I just have explored this in such a way, and I've been really focused over the years, and I've spent lots of time, energy, and effort, and invested time on pursuing this and researching this and using me as the project. So I haven't, you know, I haven't always been like this. And you know, I'm learning every day and changing every day and doing different things every day and endeavoring to be the living example of what I talk about rather than the talking example of what I talk about.
Yeah. Do you find
you know, you said you've, you know, you speak to a lot of different corporates, you go around the world doing that. Do you find that there is a common thread with middle-aged men in corporate life that they pretty much are stuck and they all want either to get out or they want to see a different life?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I've had two examples in the last 7 days. I was in Denver this time last week. I was in Denver, and I have some family in Denver. I was in transit on the way to Anchorage, Alaska, to speak at a conference, and I got an opportunity to my cousin and I and his family went to the next door neighbor's place to watch the football, and the fellow who was there was the VP of a huge global financial institution, and 47 years of age, and going, what's next? You know, like, maybe I need to change jobs. And some of the work that I do with lots of senior executives is a lot of them have fallen out of love with what they're doing. Now it's not about a sea change or a tree change sometimes, and it's not about changing careers or anything like that. Sometimes it's just they've achieved every goal they've set and they haven't reset the next goal. Or, more importantly, I actually talk about this. There's six emotions around achievement. I won't go into all of them today, but one of them is unsatisfied, where people look good, smell good. They've achieved heaps and they're still achieving, but they're not fulfilled. And those people need to identify, my solution is they have to get a manifesto. They have to get a dream. They have to get a goal and a reason that's bigger than them, that lives on after them, and is something that they can work towards, because they've already been successfully personally. So it's now about the outer self. It's now about what they contribute to others or to their family or whatever it might be, or the industry or the community. So to answer the question, a lot of times when I'm working with people, they get to, you know, we often, you know, people talk about the midlife crisis. Well, I don't know about a midlife crisis, but people get to a point and they go, gee whiz, I've lived half of my life, or I've lived half of my working life, and what's next? And that's where people need to come back to what their true north is. That's they need to have a reason that's bigger than them, that's outside of them and lives on after them. They need a manifesto. They need to leave a legacy.
That's quite challenging for a lot of people, because a lot of people won't let themselves go there because they know that, well, hang on, if I step off this corporate ladder, what could go wrong, you know, what might happen to my family, what happens to my responsibilities, you know.
Absolutely. But sometimes it's not about stepping off the corporate ladder. Sometimes it's about finding another ladder within inside that corporation that stimulates them or you know, for want of a better word, reincarnates them to look a little bit beyond. A lot of times people, when they get to 45, 50, and I'm 52 years of age, so I can, you know, I deal with lots of CEOs, lots of, you know, VPs in companies, and, you know, after the conference, sitting down and having that one-on-one conversation with people, it's a fairly common conversation. For a lot of them, they've stopped growing. They've stopped developing.
Yeah.
They haven't, you know, the last bit of formal education they did was university. They've stopped reading books. They've stopped listening to podcasts. They've stopped listening to your program. And the truth is that you cannot go there physically until you go there mentally.
Yeah.
And for a lot of them, it's about making sure that they're humble enough to go and find a coach, making sure that, you know, leaders are readers. They need to read books. They need to listen to podcasts. They need to put themselves back into learning environments and re-energize themselves mentally so they stimulate their belief or whatever. And a lot of times they're waiting for the company to do it. And what I say to them is, get off your backside and do it yourself. If you don't invest time, energy, and money in yourself, you're a poor judge of a good investment.
Yeah. Hey, Keith, thank you very much for being on the show today. I've got a feeling we could talk for hours.
I think we could. I'm sorry if I talked for too long and didn't get all your questions. I get passionate about it.
Yeah, good on you. That was Keith Abraham, psychologist, all about rituals. And for more details, go to mindfood.com.
Mindfood Radio, smart thinking with Michael McHugh.